Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Two brothers from another mother, Jason Kanz. Good morning.
Good morning.
How was the Bee Expo on Saturday?
It was good. It was good. They had a lot of vendors there, a lot of happy people walking around, good food trucks. It was glad to see something like that coming to the Chippewa Valley. Raising awareness for bees, helping people explore beekeeping, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it was good stuff.
And they're already, they've already got it planned to do 2 days next year.
That's excellent. It's good to hear that they're planning to do that. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Let's see. One of the conversations that arose between my wife and I, which was interesting, is the where does curious end and nosy begin?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know if I have a good answer for that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. My mom is, and she gets a laugh out of saying that she said, oh, some of her grandkids call her, oh, Grandma, you're curious George. And so they've kind of had fun with that, the fictional
sure.
child book character.
Yeah. Yeah.
So curious, but then what's nosy? And then all of a sudden that messed with me because 24-year talk show host, news director. I mean, you know, I can ask questions, and yet I think I can run up against that nosy thing, and I think other people can go, wow, I wouldn't have asked that. So,
yeah. Yeah, you know, how much of it comes down to boldness in asking questions? Yeah, I'm going to be pondering that, I think, for a while, because obviously we think of some people as curious and some as nosy. And I part of me wonders whether it depends on the recipient. You know, I might see something as nosy that another person might just see as curious. I don't know. Good questions.
Yeah, so that's one thing to ponder, I guess. And another one is, well, so yesterday, the evening, not at my usual Sunday night group because spoke on behalf of Fierce Freedom at a Knights of Columbus gathering. It was those from Eau Claire and Chippewa County. And so dinner was served there at Wild Ridge. Wonderful dinner. But, I mean, the dessert apparently was from Sam's Club, and it had, it was cheesecake, like from heaven. So it was whipped cream, some fruit, and just so creamy. And the graham cracker crust, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. Yeah. I do. Their cupcakes are also out of this world, so they've apparently got something going on.
They've apparently got something going on, is right.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
I haven't had a good piece of cheesecake in a long time. That sounds really good.
Got everybody hungry there this morning, so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I want to do for Holy Week, you're a guy that wrote not only Letters to the Beloved, which is your devotional commentary on the entire New Testament that we draw from many, many days. But you also wrote a book, Notes from the Upper Room. You've got the actual book and the devotional. And if people wanted to get that, and they're like, hey, I've gotten to know Jason on the radio these 6 years, they can do that through Amazon or contact you. Somehow you have some copies at your house.
Right, yeah, I've got copies for sale at my house. And it is all of my books are available on Amazon as well.
So. You did a whole book on poetry.
Yeah, about Psalms.
Soil of the Divine.
Soil of the Divine, yeah.
I got
my first book.
I got the preposition right there.
Yep.
I still keep in the back of my mind, like, working through that, and it would be interesting, you know, to try to figure out how to do that. But anyhow, this week, I've kept track. There's 129 devotions I've counted in Notes from the Upper Room, or maybe you told me. And so we have done most of them. We're on page 148, John 17:12. So this week, you know, this is, again, the Upper Room Discourse. This is a big deal in John, right?
Yeah, it's, I think, one of the best chapters in the whole Bible. It's the longest recorded prayer in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's Jesus praying for his disciples the night before he goes to the cross. It's definitely something worth pondering and slowing down and paying attention to what's going on.
So we're
going to
do it all week through Good Friday. Let's go with John 17:12. I get the verse, you get the devotion.
Sure.
And the prayer. John 17:12, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that scripture might be fulfilled.
And I wrote, prophecy is a strange thing. From the lips and pens of women and men hundreds and even thousands of years prior, words anticipate what was yet to come. The Old Testament contains many messianic prophecies, all fulfilled in Jesus. One of the prophecies was Jesus' betrayal by Judas, the son of destruction. One of the questions that bothers me is whether Judas could have done otherwise. Did he have the freedom to not betray Jesus? Did Jesus choose him with the full knowledge that he would be the betrayer? And if so, could he have warned him earlier? Maybe he did, and Judas still betrayed Jesus. Did he ever repent? If not, could he have done so? Will I see Judas in heaven? It grieves me that this man, so crucial to the Passion storyline, may not have had a choice. If I accept what I've always been told, Judas faced eternal damnation as a consequence of predestined action. For me, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Huh.
And then the prayer is, Jesus, sometimes I wrestle with the implications of your words as I have come to understand them. I confess that my own vision is clouded and that I do not fully grasp your purposes or timing. In truth, I do not know Judas's fate, but I sure hope that he took an opportunity to return to you and that he knows the full embrace of your love.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes. I guess it brings into question, I mean, in terms of the whole conversation of suicide, which we're not going to get into here,
right.
But I guess I'm going to turn to somebody like Charles Stanley over the years, who's offered hope for those who've taken their own lives. So I'm going to lean on that. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of questions it brings up.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You bet.
Thank you,
friend.
All right, there we go, everybody. Jason Kantz here on WWIB this morning from John 17:12, a devotion from his notes from the upper room here. The Whip Wake Up Show on a Monday, and it's been a while, it feels like, since we did a weekend recap, but I think we can do it here this morning on this 14th of April. For me, I did it again. My Wordle streak ended at 40. Yeah, started in the morning. Caleb, I remember the word had an A and an O and an R, and I could not figure it out, left it. And if the sad part is, before going to bed at night, I just kind of bypassed. I'm like, oh, no, I'm sure I got the Wordle word. No, you didn't, Mark. So
that's
that ended.
That's the worst because I've done that, too, when I had a long streak with Wordle and just forgot to do it. Just straight up forgot.
I know.
Thankfully,
so
I have Cooper who reminds me now.
Breakfast at Randy's on Saturday. Chippewa Valley this week. Heard some of that. Heard some of your call. McDonald Baseball. One that stands out, your call of a David Anderson hit. You had a great call on that one. Watching some TV with my wife Friday night, some of my kids Sunday after our Sunday lunch, church, discipleship relationship going on with another brother in the Lord, and then got to speak on behalf of Fierce Freedom and the Knights of Columbus event last night. Great meal, but wow, left us with some Sam's Club cheesecake that it was heavenly. Thank you very much.
Well, my weekend, been doing a lot of baseball and softball broadcasting for our sister station WOGO and that WOGO Sports Live video stream on YouTube. So that was Friday night. I was out in Baldwin and then Saturday up in Chautauqua. So enjoyed broadcasting some softball and some baseball over the weekend. But obviously that took up a lot of the weekend. Did make a stop at Kirshner's Super Premium Ice Cream while we were in Chautauqua. And that was fantastic. Introduced Sam to that. And we had a great time. I got the Barron County Blue Raspberry, which was delicious. Hadn't tried that flavor before. And Sam got the lemon poppy seed. I have to say Prairie Farm Sweet Cream. That's my favorite flavor there, and kind of thinking, man, maybe I should have double dipped and gotten both. But enjoyed that time. Beautiful day up there. And so that took up the majority of the day on Saturday. So it kind of feels like, oh, there's just about half a weekend. And on Sunday, went up to church and then had to scurry back after a wonderful lunch with my parents, helped get their trampoline set up. And then we had to get back because I've got a kid in sports as well as broadcasting sports. Cooper's playing baseball. And so they did a little bit of a scrimmage last night. And that took up another 2.5 hours of the day. So I don't really feel like I really had much of a weekend. But, you know, here I am and we're ready to go. So.
And you have another softball game today.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I love sports. So that's what it is to be a parent and to be an employee, right? Is you do the best you can with what you've got.
There you go. Well, one of the great things about the weekend that I enjoyed was an especially long walk with our dogs. Helped me get in over 11,600 steps on Saturday. So that was good. Feeling a little bit the next day, but apparently that's good for us.
Yes, indeed. And so walking, the headline here is walking can help you live a longer life, Alvin.
Uh-huh. Yeah, get up and start walking. The more you do it, the longer you may live. That's the main piece of advice from a study that found a higher daily step counts associated with a lower mortality risk from all causes.
Even better, the study also noted that it's not about intensity. You don't have to run or even jog all day to enjoy a longer life. Just put one foot in front of the other. Get those steps.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been other studies performed in the past on walking and lifespan, but those projects focus heavily on the elderly and people with chronic medical conditions.
This study examined a sample of roughly 4,800 U.S. adults aged 40 and over who wore tracking devices for up to 7 days.
After that, each person's lifespan was tracked using the National Death Index.
I didn't know there was one of those. It's a little morbid. After accounting for a range of potentially contributing demographic and behavioral factors, they found a significant connection between steps taken daily and mortality risk.
Yeah, participants who walked 8,000 steps per day, they're 8,000, had a 51% lower risk of dying from any cause than those who only walked 4,000 a day. So it makes a difference how much you walk.
Moreover, 12,000 steps per day was linked to a 65% lower mortality risk than 4,000 daily steps. And Havel, you almost got 12,000 in yesterday.
I was close, so yeah.
That's good. Low 60s%. You're bringing it down.
It's hard to do that every day, though. That was a special Saturday walk.
Well, the most important thing about walking is walking with the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. I love this tune from Consumed by Fire. It's called Walk with Jesus.
Tax deadline day tomorrow. Wow. Yes. Well, this morning, in just a few minutes, Blue Origin is going to launch a historic all-female space flight, marking the first such mission since Soviet cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova's solo flight in 1963. I remember it. Nah, I don't. Actually, I wasn't born.
Well, so again, this crew includes, it's an all-female uh-huh. space flight, it includes Katy Perry and Gayle King.
Uh-huh. Oprah's bestie. Aisha Bovey, a former NASA rocket scientist. Good to
That's
have her on board.
Cool. Yeah, I think you probably would. Amanda Nguyen, I believe I'm pronouncing uh-huh. that right, a civil rights activist and bioastronautics researcher. Wow, there's some smart ladies on this.
You know, I was going to study that in college, and I went with broadcast journalism instead. Film producer Carrie Ann Flynn.
And Lauren Sanchez, Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos' fiance.
Huh.
I mean,
yeah.
It's good to have an in, I guess, if you want to go to space.
It's not what you know, it's who you know. The mission will use Blue Origin's new Shepard vehicle launching from Launch Site 1 in West Texas in just a few minutes.
Yeah, again, the flight is expected to last about 11 minutes and about 8 minutes away from the projected launch at 8:30. It's supposed to reach the Kármán line, which is recognized as the boundary of space, at 62 miles above Earth. So again, this isn't like, hey, they're going to the moon, but
yeah, they've done this before. Jeff was aboard in the past, and it's like mega bucks to do it, and it's 11 minutes. So, you know, it's kind of like beyond Valley Fair in terms of a ride, right?
Yes, this is something more for the 1% right now, probably.
Yeah.
Probably not so much you and I. But
yeah.
Hey, it's cool to go to space. And first, again, all-female crew. So there you go.
We wish them well. 8 minutes.
Yeah, coming up in 7 minutes, 16 seconds, I guess, is the countdown.
They're going to be back before the show is over.
Indeed. Maybe we can get them on live.
Well, men and women may not agree on much, but it appears that they are united when it comes to the opinion that most men could use some help in the fashion department.
That's probably true.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. Is it because a lot of us are incapable or because we just don't care that much? Uh-huh. I don't know. Apathy might play a big role in my fashion sense or lack thereof. But in the results of a recent survey, 75% of men admit that part of their wardrobe could use an update, and nearly 75% of women believe that at least one of the men in their lives could use a fashion makeover.
Yeah, more than a third of men rarely even try on clothes before buying.
Guilty.
Maybe that's because their wife is buying it and bringing it home for them. I'm familiar
with
that.
I am very thankful. Very
yeah.
thankful for a wife and also still a mother and younger sisters who all kind of say, hey, this would work for you. I appreciate it.
That's nice.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, they're right. So thanks.
Thank you to my wife for all the new shirts she's gotten along the way for me, including recently.
So 64% of men go clothes shopping because they have to, whereas the majority of women, they don't even use a percentage, just says the majority of women clothes shop because they want to.
Nearly 80% of men say that when they're dressed nicely, they do feel better about themselves.
True.
They just don't take the time to go do the shopping part.
Absolutely. It's one of those things where it's like, you know what? You could prevent injury by stretching. It's like, nah,
yeah.
I need to stretch. Just do it. So 78% of men describe their personal style as, quote, average Joe, and only 14% of men see themselves as someone who is, quote, fashion forward.
It does feel good, though. I've had these new brown shoes on. At least I've had them around, but wore them recently. And then you get some compliments, and you're like, yeah,
For real. I mean, and again, I love a new pair of socks. Uh-huh. And honestly, sometimes people even compliment your socks. It's like, wow, that's great. But yeah, whenever someone gives you a compliment, I mean, we are both words of affirmation people.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, usually if I ever receive a compliment on something I'm wearing, it is something that probably my wife picked out.
It makes you feel good.
There you go. So thanks, honey, for that.
Yes.
Supporting me in so many ways.